This program is brought to you by PersonalLifeMedia.com. Hello and welcome to Dishy Mix. I'm your host, Susan Bratton. And on today's show, we have Doug Weaver, who is the founder and CEO of Upstream Group, and his new president, who's just joined him, Scott McLernan. Scott is the president of Upstream Group. We're going to learn about these two industry stalwarts and what new business they're cooking up for us. A lot of the things we're going to talk about today have to do with sales. It's the always one of the most important things in our industry. We're going to get some advice for sales reps. We're going to talk about the advertising ecosystem and training all of the new people we're going to need to grow this industry to the potential that it has. We're going to talk about soft qualities like trust, integrity, and honesty. We're going to talk a little bit about the numbers, as in salaries. What do salespeople make these days, and what are the guys seeing in the marketplace? We'll even get to the end of advertising as we know it and some Forrester predictions and what our two guests, Scott and Doug, have to say about things that are coming out in the marketplace.
The years that you were talking about, those early formation years, 99, 2000, 2001, The changes that we made, the things that we did, whether they were significant or not terribly significant, it felt like we were making a difference in the industry. So what I decided I would do is I would try to find the best of breed inside of social networking that was available, the best of breed inside of mobile, the best of breed inside of content, and the best of breed of video. So I think it's really important that we do, that we go in from the soup to nuts scenario, and that we have 7, 8, 9 different courses that we will teach over the course of 2.5, 3 days.
Let's welcome Doug Weaver, founder and CEO of Upstream Group. Hi, Doug.
Hello, Susan.
How are you today?
Wonderful.
Good. You're calling in from Vermont?
I am.
Excellent. We're glad to have you here. And let's get Scott on. Scott, welcome.
Hi, Susan.
It's Scott McLernan, and Scott's the new president of Upstream Group. And I would imagine you're calling in from Santa Cruz. Are you Aptos, SoCal? Where are you exactly?
You know, I'm actually sitting out by Candlestick Park in a very drizzly, dreary San Francisco afternoon.
You are? What are you, hanging out in somebody's office today?
Exactly. Uh-huh. Completely unlike the last few days where I was enjoying a wonderful weekend in Santa Cruz.
And who are you visiting up there today?
Well, actually, we're just finishing up our last rounds of investors, so we're visiting with a couple of those folks today to put the finishing touches on the new business.
Well, that's really good, because one of the very first questions I wanted to talk to you two about is, first, let's get a description of the Upstream Group as it was from Doug, and then let's hear what Scott's come on to do, and then I want to talk about who's funding the company, if you can share that with me. So, Doug, give us a little quickie history of the Upstream Group.
Sure. It's actually a 10-year-long story. I jumped into this 10 years ago, over the course of that time, I've been lucky enough to work with about 250 great companies, and what I've done for them is to provide them with training and perspective, and some strategy. A big part of the business has always been training, so I will I'll work with sales teams individually to teach those people about the digital landscape, and then also work with them on some applied sales strategy. How can they take their business to the next level? And that's been a phenomenal business for the last decade. And I've gotten to work with great companies like ESPN and Yahoo and NBC.
So you've been training salespeople for the last 10 years. You've also done things through the Internet Advertising Bureau and the iMedia Summit. So you've touched what? I think I read over 4,000 individuals, teaching them more about how to sell in this space. Is that right?
Yeah, I've kind of lost count, but I think the number is probably up around 7,000 at this point.
Oh, time to update that bio.
If you go across all the audiences and countries and teams that I've had a chance to work with, it's been a pretty great run.
I can remember when there weren't even 7,000 people in our whole industry 10 years ago. So
I think Susan, you and I can remember when there was about seven of us.
It's very true. So what's interesting as well is this is a bit of an old home week because Doug and Scott and I were all individuals who were on the original advisory board for the IAB. So we've all worked together in the past. Doing some great stuff. And so, Scott, tell us now, you've come to work with Doug. Obviously, we've all known each other forever. You've come into this organization. You didn't go for a startup. You went for a 10-year-old company to take it to the next level with a good friend of yours. Tell us what's up with this new Habitat program that you're coming in for. And what's the big idea and big dream of Upstream Group now?
Well, I think that I took a couple months off after leaving CBS, and I called it my 60 meetings in 60 days. Talking with a lot of venture capitalists, looking at a lot of really terrific companies that I think anybody in their right mind would have loved to have jumped on board. But what's really struck me was that I continued to, it was the president of media or the head of sales or whatever it might be, and the years that you were talking about, those early formation years, 99, 2000, 2001, the changes that we made, the things that we did, whether they were significant or not terribly significant, it felt like we were making a difference in the industry. And what struck me was that any of the jobs that I took, I'd be another head of sales, and that would be terrific, but would I really be making any kind of industry impact? And what Doug presented, the offer to work with Doug, is the ability to really help shape the way sales is going to look and is going to be for hundreds, perhaps thousands. I mean, you just heard him talk about, the thousands of people that he's already touched. Hopefully I can help with him, and we can take that from, hundreds to thousands more and actually help shape the industry again.
So I know that there's three questions I want to ask you just about what you said. The first one was, I know that you have a history of changing the way we think about web advertising in our entire industry. First of all, you introduced day part advertising, I think probably back in about the year 2000, which, geez, it seems like that should still be in the future, but it was 7 years ago. You introduced day part advertising, and you also very controversially came out against tracking clicks. And those were two of the things that earned you an ad tech industry achievement award for lifetime contribution to the industry. You like doing that. What do you think it is that you're going to do when you train this next generation of salespeople? Well, what I got was you could go get another team and train them, or you could go train the entire industry. What is it that you think you can do to teach them that will alter the way our business is run?
Well, I'll let you in on a little secret, and even though this is maybe the first time Weaver's heard this one, but a great part of the way that I helped shape my sales teams had a lot to do with the influence of Doug. I think I've influenced some of the ways that he was shaping his training for us, and I think he really, he reciprocated and really helped me build the teams that I wanted to. And I think this time, we can do it on a much more grand scale. And although it's truly his curriculum, I think that we will I'll certainly have a hand in helping shape that curriculum. So whether it be with video sales or whether it be otherwise, I think we've got an awful lot of ways that we can help touch these people in every element of selling.
So there must have been some contenders besides Doug for the 60 meetings in 60 days. Who didn't you go to work for that you were sorely tempted to consider?
Well, one of the things that I thought was fascinating is that the difference between when I went back to work at CBS, say back in 2005, I mean, those that have taken place have just been incredible, what's happened to the marketplace. And for instance, within those, I talked to some fairly big media companies, and I talked to some smaller ones. And what I found was that when I was working at CBS, actually really for the last 12, 13 years, I kept my head down, and the only meetings that I had were with people that could really help my business, which was selling media for CBS. Now, instead, I go and I talk to a portfolio of companies, say, within Sequoia, and I found out that there were voicemail widgets that you could take and you could place it into your Facebook page, or you could place it into your MySpace page. And who knew that these kinds of little companies existed? So what I decided I would do is I would try to find the best of breed inside of social networking that was available, the best of breed inside of mobile, the best of breed inside of content, and the best of breed video. And there were some very interesting offers from all four of those sectors. And obviously, I chose that none of those would make the impact that working with somebody like Doug would make.
Name them. Name the companies you thought were most interesting.
Well, you know, that clearly puts me on the spot. What I'm going to do is I'm going to let your listeners and let you just kind of ponder on, you know, what are the four companies that really fit in that category that are in need of a president of sales or a head of sales, and let those CEOs know that I think very fondly upon their offers, but the idea of going back and having the opportunity to work with somebody like Doug was too hard to turn down and build my own business.
I totally understand that. So let's talk about funding. How much funding did you have to take to get this new concept, which I believe you're calling Habitat? We'll talk about what that is. Did you have to get funding from a number of companies? Is this Angel? Is this VC?
Yeah.
Tell us about that, Doug.
Yeah, I can feel that, Susan. The truth is that we're not talking about a huge round here, and we think that the money is going to come from a couple of smaller VCs almost out of their angel funds. And also we're getting a lot of individual investment. What was really intriguing about this process was that as we talked to a lot of people in the business, people that you know and we know, about things like possibly being instructors or being individuals who might want to send their teams to this, it was almost like an adjunct to every conversation was, well, hey, could I get in for something? You know, this sounds like a great idea and I'd love to have the opportunity to have some influence and benefit from what you guys are doing. So, I think what this round is going to look like, as we raise our initial capital, is going to be a couple of people in for a couple hundred thousand, and then some other folks in for smaller amounts. But I think that what's going to be great is that we can pick and choose those individuals who are going to make smaller investments with us based on who we want to have advising us. And we are taking that advice very seriously. But to answer your other question, I'm not gonna give you a specific number on our fundraising because I don't think that would be fair to our investors.
Sure.
But I will tell you that it's not a lot of money because this is a business that is going to be very profitable very quickly.
Yeah, and a service business at that. So you're not manufacturing any new technology. So you wouldn't want to particularly take large amounts. You want to take some operating capital and growth capital.
And as you know, the more you take, the less control you ultimately have over the outcome.
And I'm all about control. I hear that.
Absolutely.
I've taken no funding for Personal Life Media. It's been the Tim and Susan Bratton funding.
Good for you.
And it ain't easy. You know, it's scary. It's absolutely scary. But boy, the more you can do it, the better off you are.
Absolutely.
So
yeah, there's a couple of sleepless nights in there.
Oh, yeah. And there'll be more.
Just one more thing on that.
Yeah.
I mean, our decision and kind of the way we built things out was, we would ideally like to fund this ourselves. The reality was that we knew that in order to really do a world-class program, to get the kind of people involved with faculty that we wanted to get the kind of locations that we want to get for Habitat, and to really build out the community engine part of this whole thing, we needed to, we didn't want to have to bootstrap that. We didn't want to have to take any half measures. So it's really just giving us a fast runway to the business.
Absolutely. I think you're smart to do that. So I don't know if you heard the show that Mark Cantor was on from Broadband Mechanics, but he went into this like it was like he morphed into this other human being for 1 minute during the interview where he just went into hyper pitch mode. And it was so hyper pitch mode that I joked that I would just edit that segment of the show and give it back to him so he had a commercial for Broadband Mechanics. And so I was thinking that I would like to give that to you. Just before we go to the break, why don't you just give our listeners the commercial for Upstream Group and Habitat, just like you'd like to if we were going to run your ad on Dishy Mix. You can do it however you want, but let's hear what Habitat is and just lay it all out for us.
Kathy, you mind if I tackle this one?
Go for it.
Go get them.
So essentially, I'd give you the 30-second version of this. Despite the fact that sellers, media companies, publishers, whatever you want to call them, are often asked to pay the freight at a lot of conferences and they attend a lot of conferences, there's never been a resource that's just about the digital seller. We want to be that resource. And there's a few different ways in which we serve them as Upstream Group. One of those is by doing the kind of team training that we've done in the past, Another way is the Seller Forum, which is a place where we gather the leaders of all the different sales organizations together and give them a forum in which they can compare notes and build the future of the business. And where we go with Habitat is we create a traveling campus and a permanent community of digital sellers. So Habitat is a place you go, and you live your life for 3 days, and you get the most immersive end-to-end digital training available anywhere on the planet. You're learning not just from Scott and I, but you're learning from a faculty of great people who are part of this industry, who are practitioners, who have street smarts, and who have real-world knowledge. And then you also become part of a larger community of people who are going to be communicating via blog. There's going to be an opportunity for seller-to-seller communication. There's going to be an opportunity for seller to instructor, seller to mentor. And so this becomes a place where everybody takes their game to the next level. And we just want to be in the middle of that conversation everywhere it happens.
Beautiful. You did a great job with that, Doug. You are listening to Doug Weaver, who just gave that very eloquent 30-second elevator pitch. Good job. And also Scott McLernan, who is the new president of Upstream Group. We're going to take a short break. And when we come back, we're going to talk more about some advice for salespeople, some salaries around the sales industry, and all kinds of other things. So stay tuned.
Listen to Living Green, Effortless Ecology for Everyday People, a weekly online audio program featuring champions of sustainable living at personallifemedia.com.
We're back, and I'm your host, Susan Bratton. We have Doug Weaver and Scott McLernan, the daring duos that are now taking the Upstream Group to a whole new level. When we left, Doug had just done a really eloquent commercial for the Upstream Group and what it was about, and I noticed that a lot of what you're doing is bringing people in and training them, but you're also creating community where they can continue to support each other. You mentioned blogs and some groups. What kind of platforms are you going to be using to create these networks?
Yeah, we're actually have a lot of that stuff in the works right now, Susan.
Mm-hmm.
And frankly, that's something that we're going to be working on quite a bit over the next 5 months as we lead up to the first event. But what we're envisioning is not creating a lot of technology, but using some existing platforms and some existing technologies to create a very lightweight architecture where these people can communicate with one another. It may be as simple as a daily blog that goes out that's populated by us, by our instructors, by some of the people who have taken the Habitat program, and it's just going to be a place where we're hoping to stimulate a lot of cross chat. But I mean, as you know, with any kind of community engine, in order for it to be successful, it's got to be really created and owned by the people in the community.
Absolutely. Well, a little tip for you is that TechCrunch has a list of 35 or maybe even more than 35 white label social networking community software companies listed. All you have to do is Google TechCrunch and social media white label and you'll find it. So
that's a fantastic idea.
That's a great step.
We've looked at that. We've heard from a couple of companies that we're in conversations with now who do have sort of the white label tools.
Yep.
And then there's also the possibility of even having this extend out to to some more sort of common platforms, LinkedIn, Facebook,
Absolutely.
One of the things, Susan, that I should throw in here is that Scott and I are not building this alone. We actually have a group of people that we're calling Regents who are going to be our North Star, if you will, for delivering value. And these are people who are some of the leaders in the sales business who will be our ongoing advisory board. And those people will keep us honest on things like this and on pricing and on the value of the program and the kind of people we should be bringing in to instruct and the kind of subjects that we should talk about. So this is one of many places we're going to collaborate with them.
Absolutely. So a question for you. And Scott, I'd like to hear your opinion about this. One of the things that I noticed, you know, you and I were both also on the founding board of the San Francisco Bay Area Interactive Group. And I recently spoke there a couple of weeks ago on a panel with Dave Smith. And I was struck by how large that organization has grown now. And there were probably 300, 350 people out in the audience to listen to this panel. And I hardly knew any of them. And you know me, that's, you know, amazing that I wouldn't know a lot of those people in the room. There's just an massive number of people who are new in the industry. How are these individuals learning about the whole advertising, digital marketing environment? Where are these people going to come in now after 10 years of the business and know how email and social networking and website design and consumer-generated media and how all this online advertising and widgets and how it all fits together? Can you and are you going to teach people about the whole pie or just pieces of it?
You know, I think we're going to have to teach them just about from, as I say, from soup to nuts.
Mm-hmm.
And it's interesting because as, in the 2 or 3 short months that I've been with Doug, one of the things that I'm also going to be doing is I'm going to be building my own individual workshops for various companies. One of the companies that we're doing this for right now, I was just building a deck out last week. And what we forget, those of us that have been in the industry for, say, 10, 12, 14 years, we forget just how much we know.
Yep.
We have no idea how much we know. And we take it for granted because we've been learning it as we go along. And, you know, I fondly refer to this as drinking from the fire hose for people that are coming over, say, from the print side or any of the other traditional pieces or people that are even coming out of school. You know, we think that they're very connected. But to learn about third-party ad serving when all you've known about is a four-color bleed, it gives people a headache.
Mm-hmm.
So I think it's really important that we do, that we go in from the soup to nuts scenario, and that we have 7, 8, 9 different courses that we will teach over the course of 2.5, 3 days. And 4 or 5 of those will have to be chosen curriculum. And, excuse me, it will be a required curriculum, and then it can have a couple of electives along the way.
And what about things like soft qualities, the trust, integrity, honesty, and other things that are more management capabilities, such as territory management or conducting an appropriate meeting, consultative selling? Are you going to be touching these aspects of sales as well in Habitat or in other ways?
Actually, yes on both counts, Susan.
Mm-hmm.
The core of the main course that I do, and I believe Scott will start to build off of this as well. The main course that I do for private groups, I call it Getting to Us, and it's the inherent quality of it is that it's about teaching the salesperson to secure and execute a great collaborative meeting with a customer. So it's all about trust. It's all about soft qualities of selling. It's all about sort of really creating that collaborative dynamic where good things can happen. It's teaching them to have a business meeting and not do another presentation because nobody needs another presentation.
So getting to us is like getting to yes. You took it off that.
Yeah, it's a play off of that because it's not just about sort of changing someone's mind, but it's about creating that collaborative environment where we can build something. The adage that I always fall back on is that a customer will always build something bigger with you than they'll ever buy from you. So I try to get them into that mindset. Because if you think about digital media, you talk about drinking from the fire hose. Every single digital seller has so many different things that they could talk about. Think about it; it's like media without borders. In your toolkit, you've got everything from video to rollover ads to email to mobile to community to this to that. You can't fit it all in. So you need the best way to go about the kind of a meeting is not to try and do a capabilities presentation for the client, but rather to talk about their problems first and then begin to apply those things on a case-by-case basis to help them solve the problems that they have.
So this is where I'd love to hear your recommended reading. Obviously, we'll want to come to your events, but in the meantime, what can people who are either managing sales organizations now or people who are in sales organizations do and learn, and what books would you recommend?
I'll throw out a couple here.
Okay, that's Doug.
Yeah, it is Doug. A couple of things for, you know, for leaders of organizations. I would recommend that everybody read The One Thing You Need to Know by Marcus Buckingham. Because what it does is it really boils down the essence of, you know, what is leadership, what is management, and what is personal growth about, or personal performance about, in a sales or business environment. And he just has some wisdom there that's great.
I've never read that. I'm going to get that.
Yeah, really phenomenal. Really phenomenal book. Another very interesting book, and I think this is just one that's on my shelf that I've always referred to, is The Future of Advertising by Joe Capo, which you know, it comes from the point of view of a guy who spent his whole career in advertising and is now looking at sort of this, you know, incredibly different future that's, you know, as the old business breaks, you know, what's going to come in to replace it. And I think that leads us to some of the most interesting questions that we're going to deal with, because I think we are at that inflection point where the old models for advertising and marketing really do fall away.
And what about you, Scott? Any good recommendations from your bookshelf?
Oh, sure. I've got three that I think are just terrific. I'm a very big fan of the old school, and that is, I think we've all read it probably at least once or twice, and I think that if you read about three or four chapters each day, I think it's terrific, and that's How to Win Friends and Influence People.
It's a classic.
Without a doubt. I mean, I think it's 70 years in print now, and it's more relevant today than ever, particularly on the lines of the teachings that we do. I'm also a big fan of The One Thing You Need to Know.
Okay.
Doug turned me on to that, and I've just read it again. The other one that I think is for sales leaders, I think it's important, and it's called A Life Uncorked. And as I think anybody who knows me knows that I've got a fondness of wine and that I make wine. And Paul Dolenz is the guy that was he was the maker at Fetzer, and he became the CEO. And one of the things that he really wanted to do is he wanted to become the largest maker of Merlot in the world. And what he wanted his people to do was not to think about all the steps that it's going to take starting tomorrow and the next day to get to become that, but to actually look around and look at the organization as if they were already there and work backwards to where they are today, as opposed to just trying to step. If you take that step by step, it can become completely overwhelming if you think about the whole thing and it is an overall encompassing concept. But if you think about being there already and what it looks while you're there, it's an entirely different way of looking at things.
That's a great piece of advice. And I can't resist giving a plug to one of my sponsors, Audible.com. Audible is, they have a kind of a book of the month club. And if you're in sales and you're on the road a lot, it's a really great way to get books downloaded to your iPod or your MP3 player. And if you join at audible.com/dishy, you get a free download. And if you cancel within 14 days, of course, you can just keep your free download. So you could get any one of these books, I am absolutely sure, for free from Audible, from Dishy Mix, if you'd like to. So I encourage any of you to give it a try. I think I'm going to download The One Thing You Need to Know. That's my takeaway for today. So I want to move on. We just have a couple of minutes left, and I wanted to get to some salary information. What are you seeing people make out in the marketplace? What are the salary ranges that you're seeing? And I'm not sure which of you would prefer to answer this, so I'll let you pick.
Well, Doug, I think you did a survey at the last seller forum.
Great.
I'll let you speak to that if you'd like.
Well, Scott's referring to the gathering of sales leaders that we do twice a year, and one thing that we absolutely had to do was to stay away from posting any specific numbers, because obviously that you'd worry about collusion there if you were had people sort of comparing salaries. I'm going to let Scott handle the question of try to put some numerical stakes in the ground for people, but I wanted to make a quick comment about what's being valued out in the marketplace in terms of salaries. And I can tell you that almost to a company, my clients are realizing that the single most overvalued asset in hiring people in this space is direct digital sales experience. That sounds counterintuitive, because you think everybody wants that person with 7 or 8 years of digital experience and sort of who knows everybody and so forth. But what they routinely find is that a lot of the people who have been at this for a while are as much a part of the problem as part of the solution. Now they know what all the problems are. They know why everything's hard, why everything can't be done, and so forth. and they tend to be fall victim to an incapacity to rise beyond the traditional ways of doing things. You know, a lot of people just can't do anything but sell to the click. They can't do anything but follow the direct response business. You don't need one more person who is a mechanic on the lower my bills account. You know, that's not gonna change the outcome for your team. So I think that what a lot of my folks are doing is they're realizing that instead of overpaying and spending, you know, $250,000 on a salesperson who's got 10 years of experience here, they'd be better off hiring two or three sellers from other media or from other channels or people who are fresh in the business and having them cover more ground and develop those relationships from scratch.
Yeah, I'll elaborate on that for just a moment, and I think I can sum it up in one term, and that is I was always a very big fan of hiring loyalty, meaning that if you can tell, if you've been in this business for a while, you know the makeup of a good seller. You know what the potential play is that you're going to need. And so someone may be coming in from print, or someone may be coming in from school, and you want to give them their first chance. If you give them the proper training, if you give them the proper guidance, and if you give them the proper education around that, you know in your heart they're going to do well. And I think 8 times out of 10, you're going to get probably better than you would have imagined. Rather than going out and hiring that high-priced gun, you know, going down the New York Yankees free agency route, and paying a lot of money, I've always found that if you hire loyalty, you're going to hang on to those people a little bit longer. You're going to be able to craft them the way that you want them to sell. And I've always said there's the right way, the wrong way, and my way. And that my way is whoever's the head of sales and the person that's doing the selling. And I think you're going to find more often than not, that's actually going to be the person who's going to, is going to be your ace.
And so you're saying just hire for loyalty, hire for people who aren't hopping around, hire for people who have a fresh perspective, and don't necessarily pay the big salary for the people who have been in the business, but try to bring in great talent.
Exactly right.
Mm-hmm. Okay. So do you want to give me any number ranges, Scott? Is that something you're comfortable with?
Well, I'm not completely comfortable with the actual number, but what I will say is this, that most organizations, and now I've had a much deeper look into a lot of other organizations because of my agnostic approach, and that is that most organizations are actually, they're all within about, in base salaries, they're all pretty much within about 10 to maybe 15% of each other.
Mm-hmm.
You get some of the really big players, and perhaps you're a little bit higher there, but maybe there's no equity play. So I think today there's it's leveled out. People are pretty much on the same level field, and what we're finding instead is what it takes to actually go in and poach from somebody's organization, how aggressive people need to get. And we're starting to see where that level is changing a little bit, because let's face it, you know, there's a talent war going on, and maybe Upstream Habitat and all the people that are coming in are going to help bolster that the sales organizations and how many people they have to pick from.
Susan, let me just build on that for 1 second.
Yeah, Doug.
One of the things that I picked up, we had a terrific speaker at one of our seller forum events, Barry Conchi from Gallup. And he's just really a phenomenal guy. And one of the things that he talked about was retaining people. Because one of the big problems we have, you know, we have a hiring problem, but we have a retention crisis. Because you've got, as Scott mentioned, you have the startups sort of promising equity. You have the big players coming into the market with Fox and others, doubling salaries in some cases. But effectively, you know, how do you keep people in place? And the decision to stay or leave may seem to be about money, but in the end, it's really about engagement and it's about investment. And, you know, do people feel like they're part of something bigger, or do they feel like, you know, they're a well-paid breaker of rocks every day at their job? I think too many people in our business have lost the joy, have lost the connection to, you know, sort of what we're doing, and they feel like they're working long hours to little effect because there's no permanent relationships with customers. They're filling out a lot of RFPs. They're pushing electronic paper back and forth with agencies, that kind of thing. So I think that we need to reconnect people with into the mission, and that's where leadership comes in, and that's a big quality that that Gallup talks about, and a big quality that's going to be discussed in the book that we recommended. The other piece, though, is investment, and I'll tell you one observation, and I'll pay a compliment to my friend Scott on this. There are a handful of companies in our business, and I've worked with them, many of them many times over, where they've developed a culture of investment. Training is a piece of that, but they're constantly sort of investing in their people. They're saying, "Hey, I'm betting on you. I want you to learn a new piece of information. I want you to go to another conference, get to know some more people, and so forth." That investment does more to hold the core team together than expansion of salaries would. And the smart people in the business get this. I mean, I worked with Scott over the course of 7 years with his teams. And I saw the same faces, year in, year out. And he was able to keep the core team together, and that's a testament to leadership. Because Scott, I don't think you were doubling their salary.
No, I certainly did not. And it's not that I didn't try, but Kramer wouldn't let me. No, I'm kidding. No, you're absolutely right. I mean, you have to create a one of the last point in that regard, and that is that I like to with my sales team. For years and years, what I always felt was that you need to give people the proper amount of autonomy. You need to give them a certain amount of empowerment and recognize that people are in sales for a couple of reasons. They want to be able to make a lot of money and they don't want to have caps. And they want to have a certain amount of freedom. And that's why they're carrying a book. That's why they're in sales, whether it be in digital sales, whether it be in traditional sales, whether it be in selling widgets. And I think that if you create the right environment for them, and then, like I said, everybody's kind of around the same salaries and pretty much the same packages, it really comes down to the environment that you create for them.
Well, I always ask for my guest or guests, in this case, our first three-way dishy mix, to leave us with something inspirational. And I think we've accomplished that. Just your focus on reconnecting people with the mission and all of the information about how you put into your people, that's probably the most important thing that could come out of this discussion today. So I'm going to leave it at that. You've been listening to Doug Weaver, the founder and CEO, and Scott McLernan, the president of Upstream Group. I hope you'll check out their new product, Habitat, which is training for digital sellers. For a transcript of the show, you can go to personallifemedia.com. For a blog post about this show or to make comments about this show, you can blog at dishymix.com or send an email to me, susan@personallifemedia.com. Doug and Scott, thank you so much for coming on the show today. I know you're brand new together, and so you did me a favor by coming on the show so early to talk about what you're creating.
It's been a great pleasure, Susan. If I can just toss this out there,
yeah,
upstreamhabitat.com.
Oh, perfect. Thank you. Of course you can. Upstreamhabitat.com. We're going to make sure that link and links to all the books you mentioned and everything is on the blog post and the website, so there shouldn't be any problem at all getting lots of people to contact you. Scott, thank you, too, for coming on the show today.
Susan, I hope to see you soon.
I hope so, too. We're always so close, but yet so far. All right. Well, this is your host, Susan Bratton. Thank you again for listening to another episode of Dishy Mix, and I will see you next week. Find more great shows like this on personallifemedia.com.